It's been about 8 years ago now. I was given a great gift, an opportunity for a free ride-along at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. Maybe you know what a ride-along is. It's a ride-along is where you are strapped into the passenger seat of a NASCAR race car and a trained professional driver takes you on 3 laps around the track, a super speedway reaching speeds of nearly 200 miles an hour. You have to understand, this is never something I dreamed of doing, never something I really wanted to do. I don't follow auto racing before that. I didn't look down on it. I just didn't know enough about it to be interested in it. It just wasn't on my radar screen. The only thing I knew about NASCAR were some of the big names. Right? Everybody knows Richard Petty and Kyle Yarborough and Dale Earnhardt and Jeff Gordon. And I remember watching the news the day that Dale Sr. died. But I also knew that this opportunity for a ride-along was offered absolutely free of charge from an office supply company that I used to do business with. And I just thought, well, why not? Kind of like one of those bucket list things you do. I mean, why not have this opportunity to do this thing? And I thought I'd regret it if I passed it up. Tell you what, it scared the life out of me. I don't like going fast. I don't even particularly care for when other people are driving me. I don't even like roller coaster rides, even though I'll do them. But from then on, I have been absolutely hooked on NASCAR. It didn't take me long to go from knowing virtually nothing about the sport to being a huge race fan. Didn't take me long to learn some of the terminology about getting loose and getting tight and wedge adjustments and tire pressure and pit strategy. I learned about the drivers, who were the good guys and who were the bad guys. I learned that everybody seemed to love Dale Jr. and nobody seemed to like Kyle Busch. And the importance of having that one favorite driver of your own to cheer for. Some might say that this was the experience of an epiphany in this racetrack ride-along. That doing this opened my eyes to something that I didn't understand before, that I didn't know and that I didn't enjoy or appreciate. But then all of a sudden, I was able to see it in a different light. And then all of a sudden become extremely, extremely passionately interested in it. An epiphany. I'd always thought that epiphany was something that happened to us, that it was something that we did, that it was our insight that happened. We'll often say, well, that was just an epiphany to me to understand all, you know, this new sport, or maybe to the epiphany of discovering the taste of homemade bread, right? As opposed to just getting it out of the shelf on the grocery store. An epiphany, a eureka moment. Something dawns on us for the first time and we say, oh, well, now I get it. But truth be told, epiphany is not so much about something that we do. It's rather what someone or something else does to reveal something new to us, to open our eyes. The Greek root words of epiphany translate roughly to an outward showing or an outward expression. An outward shining. Epiphany is more about the thing showing itself, expressing itself to us, and the result of it is that now that we've seen this thing, that it's shown us, that our eyes are opened and we have the new insight and the new understanding and knowledge. So the epiphany in my example is the high-speed race car ride-along. This was this expression of NASCAR that showed me a side of stock car racing that I'd never seen or experienced before, that spurred me on to this greater understanding and interest. You could also say that NASCAR provided other epiphanies before that weren't quite so compelling. You know, the fact that I had heard of and knew of Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt and Jeff Gordon, even before I knew very much else about them, at least they'd expressed themselves in these people that sort of rose above our ability to sort of really know much about it. We could at least know those things. All right, for those of you who are non-sports fans, I could say the same thing about other disciplines and interests as well. The way that some characters, some things, are so bright, so magnificent that they shine above even things that we don't even know very much else about. You may know nothing about classical music, but you've probably heard of Beethoven or Mozart, right? You may not know anything about opera, but maybe you've heard of Pavarotti, maybe even Caruso. You may not know a thing about old movies, but you've probably heard of Humphrey Bogart and John Wayne. My point is there are certain manifestations of these endeavors. They're heroes. They're shining lights that are evident and noticeable, even if we have no interest or knowledge of them in any other way. No reason to otherwise notice them. The greatness of these stars, their fame, transcends the lack of attention that we pay to them. In fact, we call them stars. We call them luminaries because they shine so brightly that even those of us who know nothing about their context at least notice their greatness. They shine out. They are epiphanous. So this is my lesson about the Epiphany, which we celebrate today. The Epiphany is about the outward showing. The outward showing, the definitive outward showing of the Lord our God. The manifestation of God when the Lord put on human flesh to become Jesus Christ as we know him. God revealing himself to the world he created in this form that even us dunderheaded humans could notice and comprehend. Today's reading from Matthew's Gospel is the prototypical reading for illustrating the Epiphany. The wise men from the East, also sometimes called magi, also sometimes assumed to be priests of a strange Middle Eastern astrological religion called Zoroastrianism, they had no real reason to know or to understand or to look for the child who has been born the king of the Jews. They were not Jewish. They are intentionally identified as outsiders to Judaism, outsiders to Israel. And yet the greatness of Jesus shines out so brightly beyond the context of his Jewishness that even these wise men are able to take notice. The greatness of Jesus, the glory of the Lord, shines out so strongly, so powerfully, that even those who do not understand much of anything about the God of Israel, the creator of the world, the redeemer and sustainer of all that is, even they can notice that Jesus is special, even if they don't understand precisely why. Moreover, Jesus is God revealing himself in a way that is accessible. Even though he shines out so brightly, it's something which is accessible and easy for us to look at. God introducing divine glory to us in a way that's unthreatening and vulnerable and gentle. You have to remember in the days of Moses and the Hebrews in the wilderness, God's image, God's glory was so powerful and dramatic that they couldn't look at him without being burned. It was so terrifying and terrible that they could only get a glimpse of God indirectly. They would even ask Moses, you look at him, you go encounter God for us so that we don't have to look on such incredible glory and beauty. Yet here is God showing out to us in Jesus Christ, an infant, gentle, mild, unfearsome. There's a couple of lessons we can take home from Epiphany. The first would be that Epiphany is one way that we can recover the true meaning of Christmas. Epiphany, January 6th, to be precise, is the 12th day of Christmas, famed in song and story. Another one of those things we might know about, but not really have taken great notice of what's the deeper meaning of it. Maybe today could be one of those epiphany moments for you or somebody else. Ah, that's what that 12 days of Christmas is all about. Christmas, or the secular observance of it, as a celebration of pine trees and Santa Claus and shopping and exchanging presents, it may have been hijacked and co-opted and distorted beyond all recognition by many who still enjoy it. But the Epiphany, on the other hand, the Epiphany still can be ours, still can truly belong to Christians without it being co-opted. If Belk and Macy's ever have an Epiphany sale, well, maybe we're all in trouble, but I don't think that's going to happen. Epiphany is what Christmas is really all about. Epiphany is the reason for the season of Christmas. Epiphany is God coming to us in the birth of Jesus, the Christ, the christened one, Emmanuel, God with us, the Messiah, or the long-expected descendant of God's anointed King David, whose reign and dynasty would last forever and ever. So that's one thing. Epiphany can be a way in which we really recover what's this season all about. It's about God coming to us. God coming to us. Two, Epiphany ought to be eye-opening. An epiphany ought to provoke in us that eureka moment. An epiphany ought to make us think or say, oh, well, now I get it. An epiphany ought to provide that explosive burst of insight and understanding and drive us to want to learn more, to become more interested, to do more to feed that energy and that excitement. Just because you've heard of Richard Petty doesn't make you instantly a NASCAR expert. Just because you've heard of Beethoven does not provide for you everything you need to ever know about classical music. And just because you decorate a Christmas tree and exchange gifts every 25th of December doesn't mean you know all there is to know about Jesus Christ and being a follower of him. Something in this epiphany of the Lord, God's self-revelation to the world he created, ought to make us sit up and take notice. Something in this epiphany, who is Jesus the Christ, ought to elicit our attention, our greater attention, our active engagement with Holy God through prayer and through Scripture. It ought to elicit us to want to learn more and encounter and listen for God more, to be moved and be changed by the Holy Spirit. Epiphany ought to be eye-opening. What God has done for us in Jesus ought to wake us up and open our eyes. Three, Epiphany is life-changing and world-altering. The emphasis on the Epiphany has always been not simply that Jesus was born as a little baby, but the fact that Jesus came at all, that Jesus came and lived among us at all, whatever his age, as an infant, as an adolescent, as an adult. The Jesus of the Epiphany is not only the baby Jesus, he's also the adult rabbi and teacher and paschal lamb. God enters into the course of human history in this infant form, which is accessible and gentle and relatively unthreatening and undemanding and oh so cute and cuddly. But he sure doesn't stay that way. The Jesus of the Epiphany will also face death down, stare down death, and fight it till his own death, but so that his own resurrection could defeat it. The Jesus of the Epiphany will also summon anyone who wants to be his disciple to take up their own cross daily and follow him. The Jesus of the Epiphany will also forgive sinners and call us to forgive those who sin against us. The Jesus of the Epiphany will also summon us into fellowship with outcasts and sinners and prisoners and the lonely and the diseased. The Jesus of the Epiphany will also call us to make ourselves last in order to become servants of all. The Jesus of the Epiphany will also call us to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and all our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Epiphany does not allow us to fixate only on the sweetness of the baby lying in the manger, but leads us into the way of discipleship. Epiphany draws us into the weightier matters of our faith, into a more life-shaping, life-changing engagement with this world-saving action that God has done by coming to us in Jesus. So Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year, and a joyous Epiphany. Amen.